Time to go around the National Football League, and helping us to do that this week is Jason Cole from YahooSports.com. Jason, welcome to the show.
Always good to be here. How you doing, Vic?
Doing really well, my friend. Jason, you're tracking a lot of the coaching hot seats, and we're at the midpoint of the season, so those conversations get a little more intense. I guess the one place where the seat seems to be the hottest is in Miami with Tony Sperano, the Dolphins at Kansas City, a suddenly resurgent KC team. Exactly how much trouble is Sperano in, and where's this situation going?
Well, I mean, I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, barring some miracle comeback and they win, you know, they went out, which I don't even see happening. I'm not even sure that that can really save Tony. I mean, he's going to get fired at some point here in the next, you know, in the next month. They may just let him finish it out, you know, until like the bitter last few weeks, because they don't seem inclined to promote either Todd Bowles or Mike Nolan to be the interim guy there, and they're going to take their sweet time here to decide what direction they're going to go. This is a team that's not really run with a football guy at the top of the list. After that, you get to, you know, Jacksonville. I think there's some questions. And certainly, you know, the talk is around Indianapolis. I don't think that's very much true. And I think St. Louis, there's some talk there. But I think that, you know, Steve Spagnuolo will probably stave off execution for another year at least.
Okay. And, yeah, you bring up Jacksonville with Jack Del Rio. Now that, it's interesting because they had the game where, you know, they score a win. They beat the Baltimore Ravens, and it looked like maybe there was something that could give them traction,
yeah.
But on the whole here, and I've heard this conversation that folks in general around the league seem to think there'd be a lot of activity, truly, with multiple teams after the year. But do you see that, first of all, what's happening in Jacksonville, and secondly, what's throughout the entire league, how much activity do you really think there's going to be after the season?
Well, I would think that, yeah, Jacksonville, I mean, look, Jack is probably gone. That Monday night game was their Super Bowl, in a sense. The one, you know, game on big display for everybody. So Jack did a nice job of getting everybody psyched up for that game. But I think there's little doubt that his run there, which is, you know, going on 7 years, is going to come to an end this year. They've been very, very much mediocre. And despite the fact that they took Gabbard, I don't think that's going to be enough to, you know, allow Jack to stay. I think there's some talk that they're going to go with a big name guy to try and attract more interest because their season ticket sales, I mean, even though they announced sellouts there, they're not really close. Mm-hmm. I've been to a number of games there. You know, they're already covering up seats, and they're having a hard time selling the other ones. So that's a tough place. They're talking about bringing in a big name, maybe a Cowher, maybe a Gruden, somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think around the league, depending on how things go, I think there are a number of teams. I mean, we talked about Indianapolis. We talked about St. Louis. I don't think that's going to happen in either one of those places, but it could. I think Washington, if this continues to list the way it's going, you know, the way we're talking about, I think that's a place that could change. And I would certainly think that there was one other team. You know, look, Pete Carroll in Seattle, they're not getting much traction. Now, I know that Paul Allen is really smitten with Pete Carroll,
mm-hmm.
but this team is really kind of just treading water,
okay.
and I would think that there's going to be some breakdown here between John Schneider and Pete Carroll at some point in time, you know, especially when they keep just flipping the roster around time after time.
On Sunday, you're going to be in Foxborough, Mass. To cover the Giants-Patriots game, and I'm fascinated by this one, Jason, because you look at the Patriots, and when your first glimpse is of course of Tom Brady, the offense, and seeing what they can do. But really, there was once again an exposing of this defense that's just been so horrible and unable to stop anyone. And I see the Giants coming to town. If they do nothing else well, they throw the ball well. Eli Manning's been on fire throwing the ball. I would think they could rack up some points and big plays through the air.
Yeah, I'm not a big Eli Manning fan, but I got to give him credit. I mean, he had this game last week against the Dolphins where they came back after being down early in that game. You know, he threw 45 passes, didn't throw a single interception in the game. They won the game. That is the most efficient game he's ever had in his entire career in terms of the number of throws he made without making an interception and the team winning the game. It was, you know, quietly a spectacular game for Eli. Now, that doesn't measure up to that playoff run that he obviously had in 2007, where he played so great over the four playoff games and even the two games at the end of the regular season. But it's, you know, it's a good sign that maybe he is finally playing up to his belief in himself that he's another Tom Brady, even though his you know, his career doesn't merit that kind of comparison. This game, I think, is, you know, there's obviously going to throw that quote out there and, you know, say, okay, Eli, prove it. And he's going to have an opportunity because the Patriots' defense has not come along as quickly as Bill Belichick had hoped. They're not getting the kind of pressure out of the front seven that he was hoping to get when he brought in guys like Andre Carter and brought in Albert Haynesworth. He just, that has not been able to materialize yet. And the coverage at the back end, while it was okay at some points or good enough to get through when they were scoring 30 points, it's not good enough to get through it now when their offense has taken a bit of a step backwards. You know, losing Rozai Dowling, also cutting Lee Bodden, a questionable move last week, I think really hurt the depth of that secondary. They've really got to get some performance up front if this team expects to go deep into the playoffs. I think they're going to have enough, they're going to score enough points in the regular season to get to the playoffs, but it's another thing to be a serious contender. You need to get some front seven pass rush and push.
Jason Gold from YahooSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Baltimore Ravens rally to win a game against Arizona, and they really had to fight their way to do that after losing again the previous week to Jacksonville, and all kinds of questions about whether it's a house divided and Terrell Suggs complaining about the offense and on and on and on. Where are the Ravens now as they head into that game against Pittsburgh? Of course, an AFC North showdown that will interest Browns fans quite a bit to just see how those teams are doing.
Yeah, I would say it's interesting because at the beginning of the season I asked the question, how good is Joe Flacco going to become? Is he able to raise his game from being, you know, a good quarterback, maybe a very good quarterback, somewhere in that 8 to 15 range if you're ranking quarterbacks depending on your taste? Probably closer to 15 in reality. But is he going to go elevate his game to become one of those top 7, 8 guys, you know, the elite quarterbacks like the Roethlisbergers, the Bradys, the Mannings pre-injury, Drew Brees, obviously Aaron Rodgers, those kinds of guys. And he looked like he was going to do it in the opener. And then he's gone through 3 or 4 games here where he's really struggled. And I think that the Arizona game was a prototype Joe Flacco game. First half, he's awful. Second half, he's fantastic, particularly on the deep stuff along the sidelines. I mean, he is a great deep thrower when you give him a little bit of time. But, you know, there are still too many, you know, too many mistakes. You know, he had the interception, the fumble in the first half, which set up a touchdown for Arizona, that make you wonder who exactly is Joe Flacco. And as much as you wanted to say, okay, he was on the right track in the opener, he has regressed so much that the question still lingers out there for everybody involved in that organization, especially owner Steve Bisciotti, who's going to have to make a decision on whether he pays this guy on a long-term contract.
Bears at Eagles, Monday Night Football. I think that's kind of a fascinating game, especially when we look at, the quarterbacking stories, Jay Cutler for the Bears, Michael Vick for the Eagles, and whether the Eagles have, in fact, kind of gotten their house straightened out and their act in order. I mean, do you see them going on any kind of a tear here, which they're going to need to be a playoff team?
Well, I think that I still think Philadelphia's going to win this division because I don't believe in Washington. I think Dallas is a mess from week to week. You just don't know what to expect. And if you look at the Giants' schedule over the final 9 games, oh, my God, is it brutal.
Yeah.
You know, starting with the Patriots, their next 5 games are just, you know, it's god-awful. And then they got Dallas like twice in the last 4. I mean, it's a nasty run for the Giants if they're going to win this division. It's a little bit easier for Philadelphia. So I think they're going to overtake the Giants in this division. However, this kind of game against the Bears, I went to the Eagles-Bears game last year fully expecting that the Eagles were going to be able to get an early lead, jump all over them, do what they normally do, which is, you know, play fast, yeah, play quick, you know, play pass defense. They did not do it. Julius Peppers did a fantastic job in that game of helping to contain Michael Vick and confuse him. And Matt Forte did a fantastic job running on, you know, that undersized Eagles defense. To me, this is one of these execution games that if in the first quarter the Eagles are able to get a 10-0 or 14-0 lead, they roll. If this game is anything close to even or a one-score game, all of a sudden the Bears, you know, take control of this game and it becomes much more of a Chicago type of game. So it's going to fascinate me to see how this game plays out this week, and very telling about both teams.
Jason, great stuff. Truly appreciate the time, and we will talk again down the road.
Anytime. Thanks.
Jason Cole from YahooSports.com. Check out all his great stuff there. Joining us to take us around the league. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.